It's a love to hate kind of situation. But how do you create an NPC that the players love to hate and loathe and just can't wait to pound them into dust but can't do anything about it? How do you do it? Well, this is how I do it. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of How to Be a Great GM. My name is Guy. We're talking about loving to hate NPCs. And so you wanting to create a long-term NPC who's going to be around for a while, who will be a thorn in the PC's side, but against whom the PCs can't really do very much for legal reasons, for position reasons, for status reasons. If you have ever watched Game of Thrones, Joffrey was an absolute monster that everybody hated and loathed. And whenever you saw him coming on screen, you're like, what is he going to do now that is going to make us hate him even more? That was a brilliantly written character. And when they finally got their comeuppance, you were like, yes! So how do you create those characters? Well, there's a finesse to it. And this is a long-term investment. However, in today's game, this week's game, whenever you are playing, you can introduce a hated NPC straight away and start the journey to creating this love-to-hate NPC. Does the NPC, first question, does the NPC have to actually be part of the plot? No, definitely not. They shouldn't be part of the plot, as a matter of fact. They really shouldn't. They need to be a standalone. Because if they're part of the plot, the player characters are going to forget about hating them. They might hate them a little bit, but they know they're part of the plot, and they are ultimately going to get around to defeating this character. And again, when I say plot, it's as in what the PCs have in their minds as the big plot. You don't have a plot, you have a plan, remember? And if you don't understand that, go watch last year's videos on planning. The NPC has to be separate from whatever's going on. A resident in the town, a traveling merchant, a monster of some description that can't be touched. Remember, the key thing is that the PCs can't actively work against this NPC. If they do, PCs often become very vigilante in their approach and will just destroy someone who irritates them if they can get away with it. So we need to make sure that the stakes are very high, that sure, you don't like the way the character worked, that's fine. But if you kill them, you will be in more trouble than if you just let them live. So when I think of these NPCs, what we need to do is we need to figure out, firstly, their shtick. And that I have boiled down, and I've got a list here, and I'm going to make sure that I read the list because I sometimes forget all the numbers. Firstly, is what type of hated NPC traits are they going to have? Are they going to be arrogant? They're absolutely supercilious. Nothing can possibly defeat them. If you think about Grand Moff Tarkin from the original Star Wars film or from Rogue Squadron, the subsequent film to that, he believed that nothing could possibly defeat his great genius, and it was through fear that he was going to rule everything. Evacuate? In our moment of triumph, I think you overestimate their chances. A classic line which was delivered just before he got blown up. Beautiful example of arrogance, but played in such a way that the heroes hated him, absolutely hated him. He was a cool, cool, cool character and didn't actually have very much to do with the plot, as a matter of fact. It was mainly Darth Vader's kind of stuff. So anyway, an arrogant character. Could also be someone who's very boastful, someone who's very, well, of course you can't read this, elf, because you're, you know, common. So arrogance. The next one. Prejudiced, any kind of prejudice. Now, of course, bear in mind that some of your players might not want prejudice in your game, so hopefully you've done a session zero and you've worked out what that is. I'm not going to talk to you. You're a dwarf. My knees don't have eyeballs or a mouth. Bring the stool for the little short thing. That kind of comment is so biting and really, really is good role-playing on behalf of you as the GM. Not only are you remembering that the player is playing a dwarf, which automatically in our minds creates a difference, or at least it should, although we tend to forget about the whole height thing when we are role playing. Be honest, yes you do, sometimes you forget. So A, it's reinforcing the idea of the different species, so it's making your world feel richer, but B, it is also making your NPCs interact very viscerally with the player characters and forcing them to either react or to just take it. Prejudice is a horrific trait which allows us to create these horrid characters, which is what today's video is all about. So prejudice, the next one, is just being a slime ball. Flirtatious, overly sexualizing the player characters. Oh my, what a handsome young adventurer. Jabba the Hutt from Star Wars. Classic example of a slime ball where he licks his lips in front of the helpless Princess Leia. These kind of characters, they're not inherently evil. They're just evil. They're just nasty people. They might not mean any ill harm, but they are definitely causing psychological harm. And then finally, the next one is the bully. The player characters come across someone and they are pushing a peasant around. Move faster, peasant! I need to walk forward and you're in my way. That's an example of a bully. A sheriff or a guard who beats others. Those kinds of things. Just generally being nasty. Maybe they try and bully the player characters, although that's quite direct. We don't necessarily want to aggravate the player characters. We just want the players to go, I hate that person! All right, so usually the bullies will be bullying others. Come along, move along, move along. Nothing to see here, nothing to see here. Don't stop, don't stop. A bully is also a guard who goes, nope, you can't enter. Barred. Barred. Your entrance is barred because you're wearing red. And the rules say you can't enter because you're wearing red. Exercising their authority and forcing the player characters to do something that they don't necessarily want to do. So bullies are really useful. And then finally, self-interested individuals. Help me! Kill them! Save me! Kill them! Save me! Save me! Save me! In Robin Hood Men in Tights, Prince John was a wonderful example of someone who was completely self-interested and had no care about anybody else except for himself. It's very important that we recognize self-interest as being this negative trait, because you will put sacrifice yourself. It's a pain I'm willing to endure. I'll remember you whilst, you know, writing a letter about you to whoever you call important. Those kinds of individuals are particularly vicious. Now, a wonderful example I have is that I had a player character who met this young damsel in distress. He was playing a paladin. And the damsel in distress, basically just whenever something happened, she would call to him to say, protect me, I'm under attack, I'm under attack. Oh my God, I'm wounded, look, I broke a nail. This is terrible, now we have to go and find something to save my nail. I can't carry on, you have to carry me. Self-interest, self-interest, self-interest. Absolute slime ball. Eventually he realized what she was doing after everybody else at the table was like, just cut her head off! He played it beautifully and eventually turned around, snapped at her, and she broke down in tears and then I think got eaten by a lizard or something. So anyway, arrogance, prejudice, slime ball, bully, or self-interested individual, those five things. By assigning them those, it immediately creates this character. But that's not all. We need to press further with that because the players need to encounter these things on a semi-regular basis. This is not just a once-off encounter. That would be irksome. That would create an interesting NPC, but not a hated NPC. We want them to last for a long time. So I've got this gentleman here. He's actually a character, an NPC in my role-playing game. He is Kallax Rathwin. He's the head of a particular organization. And he is hated because he genuinely believes what he is doing is right. He has so much prejudice that it's disgusting. Halflings should be well looked after. They should be maintained. But I do feel that it's important that we understand that they are naturally very lazy individuals. So we have to motivate them. Lack of elevensies, no second breakfasts. It helps trim them down, making them a more agile workforce, and ultimately is better for them from a health perspective. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking of banning all forms of alcohol in the city altogether. Obnoxious, he's irritating, he's super arrogant as well. I've combined both those traits into one there. And because he's head of this organization, he can't be touched. The players can't actually go in and beat him to death. They can't take vengeance. They can't try and bring him to justice because he is so powerful. Now, here's another character that this young gentleman here. I create these images not based on these traits. I simply create them in Artflow, which is artflow.ai. They make these images for me, and then I can bring them up as I need to during my games and things if I need to. Or it's just for me to have a visual idea in my head of this NPC. So this redheaded young youth comes forward. He is just dripping in slimeballness or in bulliness because of the way he acts, not because of the way that he looks. So this character could also be a wonderful character, a loving, caring, valiant young man. But if I make him flirtatious with the female members of the party, if I make him dismissive of the other male members of the party, they're weak, they're not interesting. If I make him a princeling who has to be protected at all costs, even though he whines about everything, this is creating a hated character. It's just about putting stuff in your head. Now, this last character I particularly enjoy, a fairly rotund individual, and he could be super slimeball. He really could be. He could also be an amazing mentor guru who has just some wonderful insights. The visuals are there as cues for us to be creative and to hinge those ideas around. So if we look at him, he might be prejudiced to all non-green-skinned individuals. Oh, I don't want to deal with you. I don't like the color of your skin. Come back when you've got some sun on you. Or perhaps, you know, a little green. So once you've got these characters going, and you've got these visuals in your head, and you're starting to describe them, and you're starting to have them come to life, they need to engage with the party over time and keep coming back. So if the party are centered in a town or a city or a kingdom, these folks need to be there. They need to be ever present. Now, they don't always have to actually be there. Sometimes it could just be a decree. In the case of this individual, let's say he's known as Greenfinger, and Greenfinger runs an underground human trafficking system where only humans, maybe elves if they have a special customer, but humans are trafficked from one kingdom to another. The party meet him the first time around, but he's so well protected, he's got a djinn or some super powerful thing that protects him. They can't engage with him. They go to another town. Now, he's not going to be there, logically. He doesn't have to be there. But one of his agents could be there, another NPC that the PCs actually defeat, or they could come across a poster saying, hey, are you a strapping young woman and want to make some money? Apply at slimoswetransportyou.wagon. Or an NPC comes up to them and says, my sister has disappeared. And they follow the trail and they find that this is actually his trafficking ring, which links back to the city. Of course, he cannot be traced. So the PCs shut that down. It angers him, but also it entrenches him in the PCs. Again, folks, nothing to do with the main story. These are characters that you're adding in just for flavor, to make your world feel rich. What are your thoughts? Comment down below. I'd love to know. Let me learn from you just as much as you learn from me. Until next time, a massive, massive thank you. Thank you to all of my Patreons who keep the channel going, and for all of you for watching until the end. Until next time, I wish you and yours the happiest of gaming.